Hey, welcome everyone. Good afternoon, good evening, or whatever time when you're listening to this, be it now or when you're listening on the podcast or the archive. This is Ken Metz. Welcome to Tech Talk. This is Monday, December the 18th, 2017. And we are going to have just sort of a fun program this evening. But I think it's an interesting one, and we're going to get started here in just a minute. But as I said, this is Tech Talk. It is Monday, December the 18th. And we have a few things that we really want to talk about tonight, and I just thought that we would all have a little bit of a chat. We do this once in a while, and periodically it's good to talk to one another. But what I'd like to do is really work with all of you, get some ideas of what you think of, you know, some of your ideas of what you would like technologically for this Christmas, the things that sort of got you started in technology from what you received in Christmases past, and where would you like to see technology go for you? For the most part, as a person who is blind or low vision, just curious. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So it's going to be sort of the old Christmas carol of technology for blind and low vision. I'm really not Scrooge. I guess I'm not Santa Claus either. But with that, I just want to say welcome to all of you that are here. And Ron, it's your choice. You're always welcome to be with us, that's for sure. And Jerry, just to answer your question very quickly, Sylmar, where the school is about 10 to 11 miles away from where Bob and I are located. And the last time they had a big fire there was about, I think it was 8 or 9 years ago. And that's when they had a complete mobile home park burned down that wasn't too far from the school. So they've had a couple of fires there within the last 10 years. They've had two really, really, really good ones, if you can call a fire good. Let me say, change that to two big ones that were really devastating. But thank goodness no one got hurt in that particular fire, and it is pretty much under containment. Unfortunately, the weather a little while ago said that they're expecting a little more wind midweek here, and so we're just hoping everything will stay safe now. But with that, let's go on with our program, and I'm going to at least try and give it a start here and see what the rest of you think. We'll see how long we can go with it. I thought the first thing time for me to really get some technology, for me personally, was in 1990. Excuse me, that's really the first time I looked at technology and got a computer. So I guess you could call it that. But, you know, if I really had to go back to the first bit of technology that I got, it was 1954, and that's when I got my first Braille writer. And you know what? The Perkins Braille writer, you guys, in those days was really technology. We had Braille writers prior to that time. We had Braille writers that you could just put a paper in and you would Braille and Braille and keep moving the line up. And all of a sudden you realized that you were Brailing on nothing because the paper would fall out of the machine. That was the one I remember having in school was the Hall Braille writer. And so that Hall did not have a stop at the end of the page. It was just like the old manual typewriters when a lot of us first started typing. And if you kept moving the line up and up and up and up, all of a sudden you were typing and there was no paper in there and you couldn't really tell. And it's still hard to tell. It was hard to tell even later on a typewriter. So all of a sudden, you know, then we got to the Perkins Braille writer, and that had the stop on there. At the end of the page, you couldn't move the line up any further. And so, therefore, you didn't continuously write when there was no paper in there. That was technology the way I saw it as a person who was blind that many years ago. And then, of course, we ended up with, as I said, the regular typewriter, and we ended up going backwards a little bit in the sense that the page would fall out, we'd be typing. Also, with the typewriter, we had a problem because when the ribbon ran out of ink, we didn't know that, and I can't tell you the number of times I turned in pages of stuff for a paper, and there was nothing on the paper because the ribbon had run out of ink. So the technology has evolved to a much better situation there. All of a sudden, now we have our computers, we have printers, and all this stuff is so automatic that it's just incredible to see where it is today. You know, we could go into so many areas of technology, but the future, I think, is incredible because when I look at technology, I try to think of how much further can it really go for the future, and how is it going to benefit us? And, you know, I don't know if I could even dream that kind of stuff, because if someone had asked me 50 years ago what technology we would have 50 years in the future, meaning today, there's no way I could have guessed that we would have had the computers we have, that we would have had the iPhones we have, that we would have had the ability to use scanners, cameras, whatever it is to read print. I don't think I really could have guessed it. I can recall once around 1955 or so reading in my weekly reader, for those who might remember that, about the day that you'll have driverless cars. And of course, there was so much science fiction in those days that for me, I sure didn't believe that could ever happen. And you know, we're not that far away from it. So maybe that's the next big thing in technology. Not having transistor radios back when I was a kid. I remember taking a heavier portable radio to baseball games because you couldn't hold a radio in your hand like you could after the Zenith transistor radio came out in the mid-50s. So I want to hear what the rest of you have think about technology, where it is for you, how you see technology from the past, where it has taken you today, and where do you think it's going to take you tomorrow? So we're going to try and just play this without a question type thing. Let's make sure, though, when you give an answer that you know, I did take a little long because I wanted to give examples of where we could go with this. But, you know, let's remember there are people who may want to say something, so let's keep it reasonably short. I'm not going to just say take a half a minute or a minute, but let's keep it reasonably short so that everyone has an opportunity who wishes to talk about this. So with that, I'm going to open it up, and today is going to be sort of a free day to, but again, just be cognizant that there are other people there, okay? And so let's see who is first in queue here on the key to tell us what you think of technology, past, present, and future.
Gary Hogan. Well, I'm not like you guys, because some of you guys, I was born with sight, and I've been losing my eyesight since 1970. Became legally blind in 87, and so in the beginning 80, I started researching using magnification. magnifiers and stuff like that, which I didn't know nothing about. And I start learning it, those devices back in the 90s and using the CCTV in the mid-90s. So these are the stuff that I was looking for at that time. was interested with computer, but wasn't eligible to get a computer at that time. And I couldn't get one for the state because I wasn't working, so it was very difficult. But later got one issued to me by the VA after 95. But working with low vision technology, I can go on for a long time on this, but you said you want to keep it short. So this was my thing. So other people were born with vision impairment or blind, total blindness. Is a different situation. My situation was later on in life, after I was 30, to look for things for me to see better. And I went to working at Lockheed Martin, Burbank, and aerospace, and I really had my challenge. Had to quit the National Guard, never tell them I was going blind. You know, I had to give up. I would rob a lot of things from me. So, and it was very hard, and I can't say that today. I mean, they would pay the bill, but my blinded now, it's not legally blind, it's more on the blind side now, I'm classified. But so magnification is not good for me anymore. So I'm working with the computer, and that's been a lot of help for me.
And Jerry, just before we let you, let me change that. I want to let you complete this a little bit. Where do you see technology helping you even more for the future?
I don't know, because it's doing pretty good. I like to see more accessibility. I like to see when you listen to the TV, it gives you more this verbal description. And artificial intelligence are out now, and we're in the beginning phase of that. And the AR intelligence is out there now too. So there's a lot of things going on for the future that, like you said, about reading comic book and stuff and looking at the the car self-driven cars and all that. We're getting pretty close to it. It's there now, but it's still not completely there yet. But it's that's what I see in the future. But I'm not sure exactly yet, because I think in the next 5 years there's going to be new technology out there that's new technology out there that we haven't dreamed of yet.
Okay. Is there someone else that would like to take a shot at this?
Well, okay. When I was younger, see, I read Braille all my life, so I didn't really get a computer until 2002 maybe, when I moved, I had it in Pittsburgh, actually, I had a computer. And then when I came down here, I got another one. So I got one in the 90s, I guess. So that's when I first got my computer and used a screen reader. I think I used Arctic in the beginning, Arctic technology. So that I remember that. And it was really neat getting on the web. And I thought that was the neatest thing. But before that, when I was a kid, I used slates and styluses. I didn't really learn to use the Braille writer until I came here, and I was in like about eighth or ninth grade, before I ever had learned to use a Brailler. And that's because I went to Florida School for the Deaf and Blind, and they had Braillers there. But everywhere else I went, I had to use a slate and stylus, which was good, because when I went to college, that's all I used. And then I got a Brailler at home through DBS. So that was kind of neat. But where I would like to see technology go. I would like to see, I mean, Orbit is the first Braille writer that, or Braille display that I'm going to be able to afford. I've never had one because I can't afford it. And I would just like to have one. I'd like to actually have a Braille note taker, so, but I mean with a Braille display. I've had them where they talk, you know, with a synthesizer, but not with the Braille, because it's so expensive. So what I'd like to see is, I'd like to see Braille come down a lot more. And I'd like to see everybody in America, and I mean every blind person, have a Braille display. And I think that will revolutionize Braille in a great, great way. I mean, in fact, I'd like to see everybody all over the world that's blind have a Braille display. I don't know if that'll come true, especially for the developing countries, and especially for some of the, like, North Korea and countries like that. I don't know if that'll happen. But I'd like to see it happen, because I think every blind person deserves one.
Well, again, Braille is not something that everyone can handle. There are lots of other reasons that people can't read it, but I have to agree, in my opinion at least, Fran, the Braille displays offer, I think, a sharper type of Braille. I think it makes it easier. I've always been a Braille reader. I have neuropathy now, and it makes it very difficult to read Braille. And I was a very fast Braille reader, but Braille displays do give that opportunity now to make it easier to read Braille, I think. But very interesting, and of course, I see what we're doing here is we're looking, at least so far, I'll say with you and myself, and we'll get into the others, but I love the idea that we're considering the importance of Braille, where a lot of people were thinking for a while that Braille was on its way out. And I'm glad to see that the thinking is that Braille is definitely not on the way out, and especially as we get very close to Louis Braille's birthday. So let's see who else has some thoughts of the technology, as well as what technology would you like to see that would also help improve your lives?
Hi, this is Marcia. And I agree with Fran. I think that with all the technology in our toolbox that we have, and I've been just about as, you know, just like Ken, I've been using the Brailler and the Slate and Stylus, oh, God, ever since about 1955, when I used my first Hall Braille writer, and then when I was in about the third grade in about 1958 or thereabouts, then the Perkins just came out, and I, you know, really, you know, then of course went from there to the manual typewriter, then to the electric typewriter much later on, and then of course in 1980 I really started getting into the computer, and of course I worked with a device called the Opticon, which was the greatest thing since the cat's meow as far as I was concerned. I mean, I went almost crazy in bookstores and everything, getting books and everything, going, oh my God, I can read this by myself, you know. And now, of course, being that I'm in the iPhone age and this kind of thing, and with the kind of work I do, I am in some ways coming up against some of the inaccessibility and some of the workarounds, but I think that's been good too, because by getting into this technology and learning how to solve problems, I think we're doing good for everybody. And as far as the stuff going on in the future, I'm already seeing it with Ira, which is the, you know, the artificial intelligence, where agents actually can see what it is you see in real time. And, you know, the Be My Eyes and the apps in that regard. And so I think that we're actually seeing a lot of this stuff that's going to be even more apparent in the future.
And that's great. That's great. By the way, Fran, just to answer something, and I didn't think about it before. Yeah, I did the same thing in college. A lot of people were using tape recorders back then, even before the cassette came out, the portable reel-to-reel machines. And I tried that for a semester or two, and you know what? I went right back to the Slayton stylus, and so glad that I did that at that time. Now, the Slayton stylus could end up being something in the future that will be eliminated. I don't know. But it still certainly comes in handy because it really doesn't break down like some of the other computerized equipment or note takers do at times. Certainly doesn't break down anywhere near as often. So it's certainly still a reliable tool. All right, who else has ideas about the technology, where it's been for you, where it is today, and where do you think it's going? And remember, you guys, it's not only computers that we're talking about. We could be talking about things for the house that just make housework easier for us when we can't always see things that we're missing, either when we're cleaning or things that are easier to use when we're cooking or things that are just easier to use when we're trying to listen to things now, such as the Echo devices, the Google Home that Joshua brought to us last week and that we've heard about. So overall, where is technology going for you? Or maybe even the better question is, what do you dream of as far as technology for the future to make your life a lot easier?
Hi, Karen. This is Pamela. I've gone through most of the early stages of Braille things that has already been mentioned, so I'm going to jump straight to what I hope for in the future. I know when I was working, it would have been wonderful to have a screen or page Braille display rather than a line by line. And it would have enabled us to keep up better with the sighted world, because we could have moved much quicker if we'd have been able to read Braille a page at a time or a screen at a time instead of line by line. Also, what I'm kind of hoping for, and this is along the line of what you've just mentioned, my kids and some of my nieces and nephews are into karaoke. And I would love to see some karaoke where you could put in a headset and have the words read to you so we could participate with the rest of the family. Otherwise, you know, if I want to do anything with them, I'd have to get a song, learn the words, memorize them, or make Braille notes or whatever. But why not be able to join right in with them and get the words off of the screen? And the other thing that I'm kind of working on now, it's currently out, but I'm learning how to use it. It's the Google Home and Chromecast, and I would love to hear some podcasts on ways to get Chromecast set up, and especially for TV, because my husband is sighted, and he's not technically inclined, but he does enjoy his TV, and I like to sit down there with him and watch TV, but I'd like to be able to, you know, use my Google Home and my Chromecast and pull it all in for him and get it set up and share it with him. Right now, I haven't had too much luck. I've got some movies pulled up using the Chromecast, but it was like from YouTube. So some of those movies are okay, and some of them are best left out. And that's just some ideas I can think of right off the top of my head. Oh, the Sonos Play One is the other thing that I'd like to really learn more about, because getting the speakers throughout the house to be able to communicate or play. I've kind of got Google Home with one speaker, the Google Mini, working in the house,
but I've heard that Echo can do the same thing, and the new Sonos Play 1 sounds really interesting too. And the sound bar, I don't know what all that's about, but it sounds pretty interesting. I heard a podcast this morning about it.
Very interesting. Okay, that's another aspect you're looking at, Pamela, and I think that's really wonderful. And there are so many other things that we don't even know about or really understand sometimes. I think when we hear about virtual reality and things of that sort, where is that for people who are blind or low vision? How effective is virtual reality going to be able to be for those of us who can't use it with vision? Is it going to work with our other senses, or what? How would you like to see virtual reality be used?
And I can't speak to that, but another thing, you were talking about the kitchen. Well, I think the best thing that came along in the kitchen is the microwave. I think that really said a lot, made it so much easier in the kitchen. And of course I use my slow cooker, and I don't have a Roomba, but that's another thing that I think is really great. And who knows what we're going to have in the kitchen. I mean, we already have the Echo with if you buy the plugins, you know, it'll turn on the lights, and it'll turn on you can set it to make your coffee go off in the morning so you can have it. So who knows what else we're going to have to make it easier. But the microwave is the best thing that ever came along.
For virtual reality, I think we sort of are starting along that line with the virtual trips. We can kind of plan a trip out ahead. I think the Trek does it, but I don't know enough about it yet. But I have heard podcasts where if you're planning on going somewhere, you can kind of virtually map out the route, find out what's around you before you even start the trip. So I think that's interesting. But for full-blown virtual reality, unless they include description, we're going to be probably left out. So, I don't know. Maybe NFV or ACV can help push and make sure we're not. And as for the kitchen, who knows anything about the Instapot, I think it's called, or the four pots in one that is a pressure cooker, rice cooker, all that stuff. How dangerous? Has anybody used it actually as a pressure cooker?
I can only say that I've used pressure cookers and stuff, and I think they are perfectly safe. But I like to cook. I've been doing that for a long time, and I'm not going to go into that because I used to do a cooking show, one with Ruth Anacasa and once with another person, Cindy Flerman. So we've talked about cooking on here. I think we did that for about 4 years or more on Inaccessible World. So for me, cooking has always been a hobby. The Instapot, there are two different kind, I can tell you that. One, you just sort of have to learn how to use the presets and the dials or buttons on there. The other one does work with Bluetooth and is accessible for someone who is blind. And I believe it works with an app for either the Android or the iOS. So the Instapot, I understand, is extremely workable. There are thermometers that you can use to get the temperature of the meat that you're cooking or things you're cooking in the oven, and you can read it again with Bluetooth. So I think the idea of the whole idea of the Bluetooth is going to be something that eventually blind folks are going to get to learn how to utilize for their benefit. And I think it's perfectly safe. Let me say, as safe as it's going to be for anyone who's sighted. It's not going to be any different. Pressure cookers have certainly changed over the years. They're really as safe as anything else can get. Usually if something happens with it, it's more human error today than it is the fault of the machine itself. So, you know, but setting the temperature of your home thermostat, going into your house, opening up a lock or being able to have that lock ready as you're ready to go into the door and have your phone there to tell it to open up the door without using a key can really have everything as safe as possible for you. The fact that you could still turn on a light, and yes, you know, when you come home, even as a person who is blind, it's still safer at night to turn on a light if you can do that before you actually get into the house and stuff. And so, yeah, there are so many things, I think, that are coming out. And so far, we haven't even really talked yet about driverless cars and how is that type of technology looking for some of you. Some people say, I don't really want to deal with it. I don't, you know, and you know, yeah, there are going to be a whole lot of things. We're talking 20 years down the line, I think, before it's as safe as it could be and before insurance companies are going to allow a blind person to even use it. You never know, though. We'll see. But the point is, so how would a driverless car look at the advantage that many people think Lyft and Uber have been now, even over taxi cabs, just because it's more competitive price-wise when you have to get to the store and carry a lot of groceries or even the home delivery things through the computer. So what do you guys think of all those things? And that's why I say, where is this technology going to go? And what would really benefit you? Someone brought up the Roomba, the vacuum cleaner. And, I mean, that's incredible. So is there going to be a time now where you can just take stuff out, put it on the stove, and set a program and tell it what you're cooking and what you want to cook and say, cook it, and all of a sudden it'll be done?
Well, the one thing that I would dream of, even you know, before we get to this thing about, you know, telling the stove, you know, what it is you're cooking and say, you know, cook, cook XYZ meat or whatever, I would like to see ovens, particularly a lot of these ovens are flat-topped stoves, which are a pain, I think, to even maneuver with because you don't know that you've got everything on the right burner and all that kind of rot. And also, I would like to see ovens where, you know, you don't have, you know, the touch screens and stuff like that would talk so that you don't have to sit there and wonder what degree you've got cooking. Yes, I know a lot of your ovens are, you know, defaulted to 350, but what if you got to set something for 400 for fast cooking or whatever it is? You know, so I'd like to see more of the ovens talk so that, you know, so things are a little bit more accessible.
This is Alan Limley. Yeah, I'm going to hit this from a little bit different perspective. I'm coming from the sighted world. I've been losing my vision over the last, you know, 17 years or so. But, yeah, I use technology, you know, computers all through my career. I was an accountant. And so I'm familiar with the computers. The thing I'm a little bit worried about is, as we've seen these computers evolve, obviously we live in a sighted world. Let's face the facts, and they're becoming so much a visual. I mean, a lot of the technology is driven by the sighted world and making things look better. I'm worried about people not using language as much anymore. And let's face it, we need people to keep using language because we, you know, our screen readers need to be able to read us the words for us to be able to communicate. I can't tell you how many emails I get nowadays where the body of the, I mean, the only words in the email are in the subject line. The body is a bunch of images and stuff that the screen readers won't work with. So, I mean, whether they're a promotion with some kind of super promotional coupon or something. I realize most of it's just trying to sell me something, but still, it's frustrating. So I just want us all to be constantly aware that we need to keep lobbying for, you know, language, words. I mean, let's don't get away from that. I know everybody likes the YouTube stuff nowadays, but having said that, I'm encouraged by the progress that we've made with our smartphones, especially with the iOS world. I think that's where we're really going to get a lot of benefit down the road, because let's face it, the sighted world loves their smartphones and they love iOS and Android or whatever. And I don't think it's going to be that expensive or that costly, because let's face it, that the bottom line is what drives what we end up getting in the marketplace. It's not going to be that expensive for them to make the stuff to where it works with VoiceOver or with whatever screen readers on the portable platform that can control smart devices and stuff. I'm hopeful that eventually, I'm diabetic, I'm hopefully that eventually they'll make an insulin pump that will work with an iPhone, so that I can control my insulin pump with a device that'll talk to me. None of the manufacturers have ever made a talking insulin pump, which is kind of odd, since diabetes is one of the chronic diseases that causes vision loss. I find that just incalculable. But I can tell you what's being calculated are these companies' bottom lines. They don't want to spend the money to do it because it costs them more money. But I know that I'm getting to be a little jaded. I guess it's my age, but I'm hopeful that we can continue to see developments, especially in the iOS world. I'm excited about seeing AI app, this latest version that'll read handwriting stuff. That's the kind of stuff that I think we're really going to get a lot of benefit from, and I'm optimistic. You know, smart home devices and things like that is where I'm hanging my hat. So we'll see.
And we can keep going in this direction. Those are good points, Alan, really good points. And I've never understood the whole industry in the area of medicine, especially in diabetes, because I'm type 2 diabetic, and of course we have type 1 diabetics. But in looking at stuff like that, it's interesting to see that we can do so many things, going back to the kitchen items. We can do so many things. We have a vacuum cleaner that you can have it run all over the house without you holding on to it to clean. We're working on driverless cars, and we can't get a reasonably good insulin pump or other types of diabetic devices that will work for us yet, as you said, with Bluetooth or other things. The simple things are still going past us without consideration of the fact that blind folks also need to be able to operate this type of equipment. It is interesting. I know there's a new, and I'll just say it quickly, there's a new patch out that you can get. And it's a patch you put on, and there's a machine that will measure your insulin and give you your blood sugar readings for like a 10-day or 2-week period, and then you change the patch and continue that way, and it keeps it charted. And yet, at this point, from what I understand, it still is not in a talking mode so that a blind person could use it. And I'll never understand how AARP, I'll never understand how the American Diabetes Association is not pushing these companies, along with organizations such as ACB, NFB, and stuff, to make these things accessible. I'll never understand that. But I want to also give you another area to think of, and you can also still continue to talk about these other things that we've already discussed and enhance your thoughts on that. What about the fact that perhaps technology is also taking away our ability to think for ourselves? maybe that's the Scrooge side of me that I sort of mentioned in the Newswire. But is technology also taking away our ability to think? What do you guys think?
I don't know about ability to think, but to not test our memory, I noticed a lot of difference because used to I could rattle off one phone number after another, family member, friends, you name it. Now I've got them all programmed in my phone. If somebody asked me who's, what's so-and-so's number, I'd have to go to my phone and look it up or my computer where I have it backed up. So I've been working on that, trying to do better about memorizing more things and not being quite so dependent on my phone log.
I think that technology can rob your ability to think and remember and this kind of thing, but I think somewhere along the line, there is a choice to be made here. You can let it rob you of your ability to think and whatever, or you have that choice to say, okay, this is where it stops in this instance. For example, just because I have a plethora of technology does not mean that I don't do that, that I don't take advantage of Louis Braille's funny little dots, and I'm sure we all know what that is. And so I use all of the tools in our toolbox, including memory, as well as that. So I think that somewhere along there's a choice that has to be made here.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I think the key is you need to know when to balance, when to use these things, and don't abandon your own brain and stuff. So, I mean, if I've got a complex math kind of thing, I'll ask my Echo or I'll ask Siri, to do a complex math thing. But if it comes just to basic additions, like if I'm calculating a tip at a restaurant and stuff like that, I still use my brain on that. It's important to keep the old gray matter operational, and otherwise, if you get totally dependent on this stuff, it'll take its toll, and you will be impacted for how well you're able to think. So it's great to come up with a balance that works for you to use all the tools that are available to you and constantly use your brain as well.
And are we doing that in school? Are we teaching kids at too young an age, perhaps, to work with calculators, to work with computers, to get all the answers they want? Or are we, and I don't know the answer. I don't want you to think I have an answer. I don't know. Or are we still teaching them the basics of course, I never understood the 3 R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic, because they're not spelled correctly that way. Maybe some of us were not too bright when we were younger trying to say we have 3 R's. But the point is, are we getting further away from actually teaching children, perhaps, because of technology? Are we getting away from teaching them to be able to handle these functions of arithmetic and reading and writing and charting, grammar on obviously a lot of us couldn't use a blackboard, but we still had to learn how to do all that stuff and learn the different elements of speech and what adjectives and adverbs and verbs and nouns and pronouns, and we had to learn all that. Are the kids still able to do that today? Are they still learning it? Or are they getting to computers and technology at too young an age?
I don't know about the too young an age or not, but if they're not making the kids use their brains to do stuff like math and stuff, they're not going to know how to do it. And I think a perfect example is in the sighted world. I don't imagine there's very many people that are millennials or younger that are driving nowadays that know how to read a map anymore. And I realize that's a sighted thing, but it's important to be able to know how that stuff works. These kids are so dependent on GPSs, and I realize we're dependent on GPSs too for a different reason, but there's a certain advantage to making yourself think through things and not just have an electronic device always dishing it out for you. So, like you said, Ken, I don't know what the answer is either, or when, you know, what's the moderate line they should take, but hopefully they'll come up with something so that kids are still, you know, using their brains and stuff to think things through.
And the other thing, okay, you know, you have to wonder with computers and the phones and everything, how many sighted people actually know how to write? Because, you know, like if they don't have to write anything and they just, you know, write it in, just push the buttons or whatever, or just, I mean, I wonder how long before handwriting goes away. Not just simple arithmetic. I mean, what are they going to do if we have a big, big power outage and they're not going to know how to write things down? And, you know, maybe they'll know how to read, but just to write things down. And that's what I have to say about the slate and stylus. Yes, maybe it'll go away, but I hope it never does, because if that ever happens, at least you can take a number down. You can take a phone number or write notes for yourself. You know, some of these old things are valuable, and I think they should be taught them before they are taught the computer things, so they can look back on them, because if that all goes away, what are they going to do when we have a major power? And I mean major. Maybe it's major where you won't have electric for a year. I'm not saying that won't happen, but you never know.
Friend, it makes a lot of sense to me because, you know, we've grown up knowing both ways of doing things. And what you guys are saying, in a sense, if you go to a grocery store and their computer system goes down or the electricity goes out, they have to actually close the store. I mean, even if there's enough light to do the things they need and it's daytime, but they can't add, you know, basically 1 + 1 anymore. They actually close the store down. Now, they do it for several reasons. One is because I don't think a lot of young people, and I'm not saying all by any means, you know, we still have our national spelling bees every year, and these kids are bright and they're wonderful. We still have the Kids Jeopardy and Teen Jeopardy and all that on TV, and some of these kids are really bright. But at the same time, there are so many who can't give you those types of answers about, if you have $10, what is what's 15 or 18% of $10 as a tip? They can't do it without the calculator or without their phone calculator or something. But if the power goes out in the store, they close it. And most of these people today honestly cannot do this type of very simplistic math without using the technological equipment, be it the calculator, the register that will give you the answer, the computer, whatever it might be. But they have difficulty doing that.
My concern, I guess, is for the students coming along now that have vision problems. When I went to school, I went to a school for the blind, and we had everything we needed for Braille, our Braille books, textbooks, you know, Braille dictionaries, slate and stylus, Braille writers, all this kind of stuff. But now they're doing a lot of mainstreaming. And some of the articles I've read, they're trying to teach the children strictly by audible means, not Braille. And I think they're going to be hurt in the long run by not including Braille.
Oh, trying to get in here. Okay, my name is Rich. I'm near Cleveland, Ohio. And
I want to put my two cents in here before we close. I actually approached life through the low vision side. I was a preemie and had pretty good vision up until, I guess, about 10 years ago, and now I'm down to bare light perception. I do have three closed-circuit TVs that I've used in various applications, and I can't use them anymore. I'll probably run an ad someday and get rid of them. Although they're old, they're black and white units. But as far as technology, one item that hasn't been spoken about is the air fryer. And my nephew got me one last year for Christmas, and gosh, I use that thing at least three times a week, and it's fabulous. It's safe. I have tactile buttons on it, and I can't speak highly enough. Also, I have the Magic Chef talking microwave, and that's great. I don't know about the Roomba, the robotic cleaners. I think they take a long time to do what they have to do. As far as the future goes, I don't know what to say. You can't predict it. I guess, of course, the desktop computer is going the way of the dinosaur soon. And I do have an iPad and desktop, Windows 10. And I just had to get a new cell phone, so I'm learning the Android system. I'm got to work on that, I guess, over the Christmas I can't say break, but at least I'll have time over 3 days this weekend to plunge in and try and learn it. I think one thing I'd like to see that nobody has mentioned, my family is pestering the heck out of me to get a seeing eye dog, and I don't want it. I want no part of it. It's nice to travel with, but you just got to take care of it and all that nonsense. And I've heard over the years vaguely that the Japanese are working on a mechanical seeing eye dog, and that would be great. Of course, I have Be My Eyes on my iPad, and it's great. And also Era. I hear there are some other competing systems coming out, so that's kind of neat. I don't know where the future of technology will bring. I think wearables are the coming thing. Braille, I can't do because also of neuropathy, although I was mostly low vision and didn't really learn it as well as I should have. So now I do have a Google, and I try to put my appointments on that. And that's about it, just kind of bouncing along in life. My big problem now is keeping my medical and other appointments straight. One thing you're talking about, Braille, I've read on one of the lists about this new device. It's made in India called Braille Me, and it's supposed to come out in a few weeks on Louis Braille's birthday, which is, what, January 6th, I think? So it's supposed to retail for $395. It's made in India. I thought it was the same device as the Orbit, but apparently it's a whole different company making it. So if they come out with that, I mean, if they do, it's certainly going to wipe the Orbit reader off the map, because I don't know when that thing's going to be in full production. Okay, that's my two cents worth. I do have, of course, the talking microwave. My washer and dryer are oldies, so they do have mechanical pointers on them, which is great, except for one knob, and I kind of figured it out that I put a piece of tape. It has the inner circle on it is plastic, and it rotates separately from the control, so I didn't want to pull the knob off and monkey with that, so I just put some tape on it, tape the two things together, and anyway, I got it going. So now all the controls on my washer and dryer are tactile, which I don't know what I'm going to do when, because they're oldies when they break, but we'll see. Okay, that's my comments. Back to the group.
Rich, I'm sorry that I didn't realize you wanted to get in, and great, great, great points. Just so you know, though, there are some displays, I think it's GE, and I'd have to go back and look at it. There are some devices you can get now that you can use to work with your washer and dryer, and I believe through Bluetooth to actually help you with those particular things if you were to get a new washer and dryer. So there are things coming out that are obviously going to be helpful, that are going to be competitive with our sighted peers. And, Rich, I love the air fryer. I think it's one of the neatest things since sliced bread. Certainly keeps us away from eating a lot of extra fat through oil that we don't need. And that's a whole other program, though. But I'll tell you what, I'll look into the BrailleMe, and we will get something going. If I can find a representative who can talk about it, that will be one of our first few shows sometime in the month of January or February, and we'll try and get someone who can talk about that. So, in essence, I think what we're really looking at, and we'll finish up in just a couple minutes, we can go just around for the last round of this championship bout. A lot of us who have either from the baby boomer side or millennium, I think we're all looking at the fact that we still want to be in control of our lives and enjoy the technology that will be helpful to us but not take over our lives. And I think that's a good way to look at it. What is going to be helpful to each of us individually in our own productivity? How are we all going to succeed the best that we can? What do we want? And I think that none of us really wants to give up the ability to write in one way or another. I don't care if it's Braille. I don't care if it's using a computer. I don't care if it's using pen and pencil. None of us wants to give up that complete ability by any means. And I think we all still want to stay in control of our lives instead of being controlled by technology. And yet we want to use the things that will make our lives, especially as people who are blind or low vision, as comfortable, as easy, and as especially as competitive with our sighted peers as we possibly can, especially when it comes to employment, when it comes to taking care of a home, taking care of children. I think we all want to be able to have those skills. We want them to be made easier, but we certainly want those skills to be competitive, and we want to be capable of taking care of our surroundings, I'll put it that way. But, you know, as things come up, as those self-driving cars become available and become safe in the next number of years, I'm sure a lot of us, if we could afford them, we'll be able to do it. And to afford them, we're going to have competitive employment. And so we're going to have to use both the good, the bad, and the ugly of the technology. We're going to have to use the good, the bad, and the ugly of the things that we've learned over the years to still be able to do what we have to do to get the jobs and to maintain a decent living. I think that's really what it's all about. And I only hope that blind children in the future, and we don't have the numbers of blind children that we used to have, just because today I think a lot of blind children have multiple disabilities, many of them, not all, but I mean a lot more than we used to have because of lower birth rates and all kinds of stuff. Those are other shows we could do in a different format sometime outside of our Tech Talk program. But the point is, there are things that are happening. Life is totally different today than it was, you know. How many of us older folks have said this, you know, way back Well, you know, I really enjoyed it when it was 50 years ago. Well, you know what? If you really look at it 50 years, we had some great stuff. And I still think we have some great stuff right now. And we still have to continue to compete. And we have to continue to advocate for those things that will allow us to compete. That's the most important thing. So we can try and keep up with the Joneses when it comes to those issues that are going to keep us on top of what's going on, to keep us competitive, to get us to work, to increase the numbers of people that are working who are blind or low vision. And those are things that we're going to have to keep fighting for. But at the same time, we still have some really good things for those of us that are on this program tonight, of course, of things in the past that got us to this position and got us up to this point. So with that, one last time, if any of you have something you'd like to say, and then we're going to close. So let's see if anybody has something important that they feel they must say right now, and then we'll close. Were you going to say something, Rich? Okay. So with that, I really appreciate all of your comments. I think they were incredibly good. They really were. And even if they're incredibly good and we all want to keep some of the things that we've grown up with and done, we still want to look at technology. And so in January, we will be back to regular programming as far as having our guest speakers, and we'll be looking at continued technology as we see it. I'm hoping that we can get Mike May back in January to talk about the electronics show in Las Vegas. And there are several other things that we're going to be looking at in the future, and I will look at that BrailleMe thing shortly. And I want to take this time to thank Bob. We've ended the year. I've had this year doing Tech Talk, and I enjoy it. I enjoy every one of you, and I want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, and especially a happy, healthy, and prosperous New Year. I want to thank Alan Lemley for being my co-chair on Tech Talk. I certainly want to thank Bob Acosta for giving me the opportunity to do this program. And it couldn't happen without each and every one of you. So with that, please have a very safe and joyous holiday season. Remember that this is the time that we think about peace and goodwill to all people. With that, thanks so much. Happy New Year, and I will talk with you next year on Tech Talk or before that on any other show that may be coming up. Thank you so much. Enjoy, and you can talk all you want in the room. This is the end of Tech Talk for 2017.
I don't know what happened. It wouldn't work before. I know this is being recorded. I don't care. I forgot to mention that. You know, you're talking about young people not being able to add and all that. No, they don't have to. I felt the same way everybody in this group did, that, oh, young people, they can't, you know, add, subtract, and they're not learning things like we used to. Well, let me say that I live a block away from the high school here in my city, and I come into contact with young people a lot, and I think they're just wonderful. They're polite, they're smart, they're certainly a lot better generation than I think mine was. They're always asking, do you need help? Can I help you? And the students I've talked to, gosh, they're in AP classes and just doing things I think my generation didn't do at their age. And it's just phenomenal. And also, my niece has two children, one's in kindergarten and one's in first grade, and my gosh, they're polite, they're nice, they're learning French in kindergarten. So I mean, in a way, they're really pushing the limits and stuff that people didn't do at our age. So yeah, I felt the way you guys did, but I think if you interact with young people, you'll realize that they're just doing things in a different way. And also, if you watch TV, I mean, people coming up, they're doing such creative things in news and theatrical stuff, and it's great. I'm all in favor of it.
I'm glad you're seeing that side of it, Rich. And I think there are certainly a lot of places where you will see that, but I think both situations are occurring these days. That's just my thought, and I'm glad you do see it. By the way, I was going to answer something that you brought up before, and you're absolutely correct. I do use a guide dog. I don't have a problem. I've had a guide dog for 54 years. Well, not the same dog. But I have to say, you know, it's not for every blind person. And, you know, a lot of times the first thing that somebody will say, oh, how come you don't have one of those dogs and all that stuff to help you out and all that? No, it's not for everyone. And I just want you to know that I really believe definitely the dog is not for everyone. Not everyone wants the responsibility and stuff. But I personally happen to enjoy it. And I was a good cane traveler before I ever got a guide dog. But it is not for everyone. Having children is not for everyone, you know. And people get married, and the first thing that other people say is, oh, I can't wait till you have children. And, you know, you need to have children. No. Even that's not for everyone. So those are things that are individual, and you have to make up your own mind on all of those situations. So you're absolutely right, and if that's something you don't want to do, don't ever let someone try and push you into it.
Okay, yeah, I know. Well, I'm getting more and more mixed up when I travel because my vision, as I've said, is almost gone. I'm down to bare light perception. In fact, I walk around with my eyes closed most of the time because what I have interferes, but I know it snowed, which is something you guys in California don't see much of, and I had to walk in the street, and I got all mixed up, and this lady said, I don't know if you knew it, but you almost got run over. So something I'm sort of thinking about, and like I said, I don't mind. Everybody sees the cute little dog wagging his tail and taking the blind person across the street, but, you know, there's more to it, and I would kind of be leaning something more like Ira, or I don't know, but I think been told I'm a very good cane traveler, so whatever. And yeah, I felt the same way people did until I met some and talked to some of these young people, and they're just, it's phenomenal. It's kids are being trained so they can't add numbers in their head, but they're doing it in other ways. So that's something very good. Yeah, I'll send you. I do have an email that I got in one of the lists. You probably got it too, about the Braille meet, and they are looking for U.S. distributors. So I can forward. In fact, I will forward it to you all. I'm willing to bet you've seen it. Also, I think a phenomenal talk would be somebody from the talking blood glucose meter, the only one that's on the market, the Prodigy. And it would be neat to have them on if they'll do it, because I think they feel, well, we're the only game in town, so, you know, we don't have to do these shows. I have a feeling the next time I go to the doctor, she's going to put me on insulin, because I've had some really, really high blood sugar readings. Almost 300. I had a 299 once, which is great for bowling, but not for diabetes. So I'm trying to get. It was my fault. I was supposed to make an appointment for early January, and I botched it up, and now I can't get in until late February. So I'm gonna. They said just call every day and see. Most of the time, people say they're gonna come and they don't show up. I don't know if you've run into that.
Well, I always go when I'm supposed to. I'm diabetic. I look forward to the day when we don't have to stick ourselves. But like you said, the patch thing it doesn't talk. So I look forward to the day when it does talk, because I'm sick of sticking myself every day. But I want to hear about that Braille meet. What have you heard about it so far that it does?
Okay, well, I'm not, as I say, really into Braille, but it sells for $395. Boy, I'm trying to remember. I know what it doesn't have, which is 8-dot Braille, whatever that is. Oh, that's for computer. There were a lot of complaints on the list. I think it has buttons for tracking, which the APH, the Orbit doesn't have. Or I'm not sure. I'll have to go over the email again, but what I'll do is send it to Ken. Ken, I'm sure you've gotten emails about it, haven't you?
I think I saw something about it, but I didn't see a whole lot. But I will Google it, and that's why I said I'll try and get someone on the program if they're willing to talk to us. I'll try and get someone on in January.
Yeah, my first reaction was, oh, well, this is just made by the Orbit people, but it isn't. It's an entirely different group of people. Like I said, if they come out with it when they're supposed to, that'll be the end of the Orbit reader, because who knows when that thing's coming out. But I think it's the same size. It's the same type of thing as the Orbit. It just probably will be out sooner.
If I remember, the Orbit is coming out October of 2016. That's what they told us originally.
Yeah, and they're still not out. They're still not out. And I was saving my money for it, but if this comes out sooner and it does everything that the Orbit does and more, that'll be great.
Well, Fran, I'll see what I can find on Google about it. And if I do, I'll put out a newswire just to give people a little bit of information, if that would help you.
That'll be great, Ken. I can't wait.
Well, I certainly hope all of you have, a great holiday. And, we just have to look at the fact that everything will hopefully start going in a very positive direction now. And, we just have to make sure that we stay in touch with what is going on and do everything we can to advocate for what needs to be done that will improve our lives. And that's what's important.
Yeah, it's up to everybody just to do what they want to do. I know I hear on podcasts, one podcast in particular, the guy rails against people, I have everything on my iPhone. I don't need separate devices. Well, my philosophy is different. I have a device for barcode reading, of course, I have talking clocks all over the house. What else? Seeing AIs on my iPad, but considering one of my GPSs, the guy who does my driveway ran over my GPS with the snowblower, which was my fault because it fell off my arm and dropped in the snow when I didn't realize it. And so a lot of it was my fault, but I think he still should have seen it. It still works. It's like the old Timex watches. It takes a licking and keeps on ticking, but it doesn't look great. So I'm trying to get another one just because I feel idiotic walking around with this thing. It's so cosmetically bad, but that's another issue. But each to their own. You know, people do what's best for them.
Rich, I'm going to call you John Cameron Swayze. The guy that used to do the Timex commercial.
Yeah, I remember those. Well, listen, I don't want to keep you. I also have a great holiday. And I have to say, and I've said it before, but I'll say it again, I admire you. I don't know how in the world you come up with such great topics. I mean, once a month would be hard, but you do it week after week after week, and it's hard, but you do it.
Well, sometimes I have to really become creative, but and that's my fault. That's my fault because I need to put more time into it. I just have so many things I do. But I'm not complaining because I enjoy the things I do. I'm retired, and I just enjoy doing stuff. And I just find that the more information we can get and share with each other is extremely important because, you know, it only takes one type of a program that will really get somebody going in the right direction and hopefully something that will help them for the rest of their lives. And that's how I see it. And, you know, I've had folks doing that for me, or doing that, for me when I was younger, and it made a big difference. So I like to see it that way. And, you know, well, let's just hope everybody has a fair chance. And you guys have a great, great Christmas and New Year's. And talk to you in 2018.